Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we are on a Friday. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, we are live in Los Angeles right here on FS1. Thanks so much for joining us today. Joy Taylor's with me. De'Aaron Fox of the Sacramento Kings joins us. Great kid. Great kid. Bill Polian joining us as well. We got Camps. J.A. Adonde. Sham Sharanya of The Athletic. Also, he's in the bubble. Loaded show on a Friday. We're off next week.
Yes.
So this is our big show today. This is the big show today. A lot of effort. No mailing it in today.
And football is so close.
It's very good. We come back on Labor Day. We'll be on the air Labor Day, and we're ready to roll. How are you?
I'm great.
Great. I watched a bunch of nonsense on TV last night. Give me sports. So LeBron James is obviously the most powerful NBA player. In my opinion, and it's really been cemented in the last 24 hours, he's the most powerful athlete in the history of America. Michael Jordan was more popular. Big difference between popularity and power. Tom Brady is very popular among players. How much power does he have? Hell, he couldn't even get his own coaching staff to listen to him. Aaron Rodgers is talented. He can't get his team to draft players he wants. You read these stories on LeBron James, the entire league, including the owners, was waiting for LeBron to decide if they were going to play. Now, some people resent power, but most people, frankly, say they want it, but they don't. Power's hard. There's a lot of heat and a lot of burdens and a lot of responsibility and a lot of questions. I read two stories, one by Chris Haynes. Udonis Haslam basically said, dude, you're the face of the league. We'll play if you want to. The Milwaukee Bucks, according to sources, said, if LeBron says we're playing, we're playing. If not, we won't. LeBron said, let me sleep on it, and was willing to say no, but he wanted to hear from the billionaire owners and their proposals going forward. 99% of guys just love ball. Harden loves ball. Kawhi loves ball. Brady loves ball. I got no problem with that. Michael loved ball. LeBron's willing to deal with the burdens and the responsibilities of true power. Michael didn't have this power. Michael didn't love conflict. Twice he quit basketball. Didn't want to deal with Jerry Krause. Didn't want to deal with certain ownership. Just didn't want to deal with it. And Michael's the best basketball player I've ever seen, and he's more popular than LeBron. Now, there's a series of circumstances, and this is not a referendum against Michael Jordan. I mean, he's been, I don't think you should have to talk politics. And he's never been, very deft at it. But there is a series of circumstances that have made LeBron the most powerful athlete in the history of America. Number one, he's the best NBA player in a league where players control it. Number two, he's the most politically active. Number three, his career has lasted a long time. We've been talking about him, you know, on the cover of Sports Illustrated in high school 19 years ago. He's best friends with a lot of the other stars. MJ was not. He's the most media savvy player I've ever seen. You know, he has his own talk show and his own networks. He's like Oprah. Like, she owned her own network. LeBron's got his own networks. Whereas MJ was the killer, you know, he would go after you. You know, LeBron's more philanthropist, lubricator, not agitator, doesn't have many enemies in the league. And also timing. Sometimes in life, you know, it's just timing. Social media has empowered all these athletes. They're just more popular than ever. Michael Jordan had power. He didn't have this power. I don't think Michael ever wanted this power. And that's okay. I don't think Brady wants that power. Some guys just love ball. Harden loves ball. Michael was rich. He was talented. And he was popular. And he had some power. He didn't have this power. I mean, LeBron, literally the owners were waiting for LeBron to tell them, according to the Chris Haynes story, can we play? Tiger Woods and Michael Jordan are the only thing close to LeBron in terms of ratings disappear when they leave. And that is power. But it's not like the PGA, you know, is canceling the Masters when Tiger went away for a couple years. Canceling the U.S. Open. Canceling the Ryder Cup. I mean, Michael left, we kept playing. Michael left again, we kept playing. I mean, the reality is LeBron has been willing to be hated. Remember this mobility thing? It used to be a stigma. Now, we think you're crazy if you don't leave. Giannis is not going to consider leaving Milwaukee? That's LeBron. LeBron literally changed how we view. I've said this about Steph Curry, too. He's changed the way we play basketball. LeBron changed the way players move about in the league. Michael Jordan, by the way, has been in these meetings. He's a liaison for the owners in this whole thing. He's just sitting listening to MJ. MJ's making listening to LeBron. LeBron's making all the decisions here. And in order to be powerful, you have to accept it, and you have to be willing to trade off stuff. You got to give up some of your time. You got to take a lot of heat. You got to answer a lot of questions. There's a lot of pressure being powerful. Everybody says they want it. No, they don't. A lot of guys want to be rich. You know, being a president, whether I like or dislike a president, you have to say, and most business people, Jeff Bezos doesn't want to be president. Elon Musk doesn't want to be president. A lot of rich guys don't want to be president. They don't want the burden, the questions, the heat, the nonstop 24/7 relentless responsibility of it. I've never seen, according to these stories, we've never seen this in America. Again, I'm not saying the most popular. I'm not saying the richest. But all these circumstances, LeBron's the lubricator. He's made friends with players. He's taken stands on mobility and social justice. And I think for that, it's incredibly laudable because I just don't think most professional athletes, even the great ones, they don't want to deal with it. They don't want to deal with responsibility and what comes with it. And a lot of what comes with power is hard. That's why LeBron, I still don't get it, but he's polarizing. Muhammad Ali was polarizing. I didn't think so as a kid, and I don't think so now. But to a lot of people, they are. So I saw this story this morning. I really like this story. We got some football on the show today. So Pro Football Focus. The stories are coming out that Joe Burrow is lighting up camp. Yesterday in a scrimmage, 6-for-6, 70 yards, touchdown. People, he just ripping it up. Now, I know what you're thinking. Oh, Colin, you're going to crush him. Nope, I'm not. I'm gonna shift a little bit on Joe Burrow. I'm starting to see something with Joe Burrow that I really like, and it's not 6-for-6. It's not his spirals. It's not his college career. I'm starting to see something with Joe Burrow that's really impressive. When I poked Baker Mayfield in the ribs, police video, his height, poked him in the ribs, kind of a reach. Oh, it bothered him. He fired back every time. Every time. Because Baker was not ready to go from best college team to lousy NFL team. That's a certain level of maturity and self-esteem that few have. Baker Mayfield has admitted in the last month, Baker's words, I lost my way. I lost who I was. I've been on Joe Burrow for 6 months. He follows me on social media. He retweets me. He never fires back. Because Joe Burrow's self-esteem is not tied to what I think of him. Joe Burrow's self-esteem, and this is really important, is tied to what Joe Burrow thinks of himself. I always said this. The athlete has to show you and tell you how great he is always the most insecure. Joe Burrow never fired back, not once. And that's important in the NFL. Because in college at LSU, he rarely trailed in football games. They always had more good players, even against Alabama. It's a much easier life. The NFL is hard. You get hit more. It hurts more. And his team is lousy, and he's going to lose a bunch of games. And when Baker lost a bunch of games, He fired off at teammates. He fired off at the medical staff. He fires off at media because Baker puffed his chest out. But he now admits, Baker now admits, I got to get more focused on football. And good for Baker. Good for Baker. He's getting it. Joe Burrow is already there. Took Baker 2 years. Joe's there. He's not bothered by me, not bothered by critics. Kind of puts his arms around it. And that's a real thing. That's a real thing. Because this league, the National Football League, beats you up physically and it beats you up emotionally. It's on you all day. The toilet paper that never comes off the shoe. It never comes off. You're getting hit. You're getting poked. You're getting maligned. You're getting knocked. You're getting criticized. You're getting doubted. And if your self-esteem is tied to anything other than your value system, bruh, you're in big trouble. Joe Burrow gets it. Not bothered by me. Doesn't give a rip. Doesn't care. I love it. Not that he's following me. Not that he's retweeting. Although I admit I got very excited. He's telling me. Burrow's all on the stuff that matters. Bengals, teammates, football, playbook, confidence. That's what it's about. This league's not about the biggest arm. Joe Montana didn't have the biggest arm. Best quarterbacks in this league don't. Mahomes is rare. He's talented, best arm and best quarterback. We don't think Lamar Jackson is the best arm. This league's not about the biggest guy. Is Russell Wilson big? Is Drew Brees big? It's never been about the arm and the size and the swagger. It is about confidence, focus, judgment, maturity. I may just start saying nice stuff about Joe Burrow. I like it.
Just did say nice stuff about Joe Burrow.
Not a peep. His self-esteem is not tied to what others think of him. It's what he thinks of himself, and I love that. Coming up, NFL players. Headlines a little misleading. Saquon Barkley, Sterling Shepard answered a question. They didn't say they were going to protest. But some thoughts about the NFL. Once again, the NFL's timing's great. They watch the other leagues deal with the pandemic in the heart of it, and then they perhaps get the tail end of it. But we're going to talk about the NFL and what we're seeing in sports today coming up next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Say hello to Casper Sleep Company. Outrageously comfortable stuff, not outrageously priced. Casper.com, Casper.com, award-winning pillows, mattresses, and more. Good to have you in. We'll go to the bubble, NBA bubble, plus De'Aaron Fox of the Kings. Sacramento coming up top of next hour. Also top of next hour, 10 players, coaches, whoever in the NFL with the most pressure this year, because there's a story out about Baker Mayfield. Saquon Barkley, Sterling Shepard. The headlines are a little misleading. They were asked about, would players boycott? And they said, we have players' councils and we talk about it. The headline makes it sound like they want to. I don't think NFL players have the power structure of NBA players to kind of dictate terms like NBA stars can. But my takeaway on all this stuff is every league now is supporting NBA players. Baseball's got 8% African Americans. They're all in. And a lot of the boycott crowd is running out of spaces to hide. When the NBA guy, and you always love these guys. I don't like the I'm not going to watch the NBA ever again. My guess is you probably didn't watch it much to begin with, right? I'm never listening to your show, Colin, again. And then I find out they don't really listen to it. It's like not much of a threat. But when the NBA players decided, hey, we have concerns about social justice. You heard a lot of this. Boycott the NBA. I'm going to go watch hockey. Oh, bruh. Hockey guys aren't playing today or tomorrow either. Think you're running out of safe spaces. Well, golf. Oh, no, golf is embracing Black Lives Matter, too. So is tennis and baseball and the NFL. Bro, you're running out of places to hide. Forget the fact you're on the wrong side of this. You're running out of places to hide. Hockey is now taking a knee and supporting players because it's the right thing. This is multiracial and multicultural and multi-sport. Billionaire owners not only wield incredible political power, but legislative power. and athletes led by the NBA are saying, enough. We can't move you. The country can't move you. Billionaires have never made more money. The gap between rich and poor, and I'm supposedly, according to studies, one of those rich dudes. Now, obviously, we're talking different level. But the gap between, you know, people with a lot of money and people without it is greater than ever. And a lot of it's just the explosion of tech. You can make so much more money in tech. There are days in Silicon Valley now. Silicon Valley 2 weeks ago, four companies made $915 billion in 6 hours. That's not the way it used to work. I'm not blaming anybody for this. I'm not blaming rich people. I'm not blaming billionaires. What I am saying is they have legislative and political power. The rest of us people do not. And the NBA players are saying, use it or lose us. And all the other rich athletes, I mean, LeBron's net worth is $750 million. LeBron's a rich cat. He didn't have to. This doesn't have to be LeBron's fight. He's done. He can stop now and golf forever. He can do whatever he wants. Hang out with his kids. Go on banana boats. He doesn't have to do any of this. LeBron's saying, hey, you guys are making more money than ever. You're all involved mostly with tech. You guys have $900 billion days. Make changes. Fight in our communities. Fight in our schools. And everybody's following. And this is how you get billionaires to do things. Force them. This is how you do it. This is how you get change. You got to force them. You got to make them uncomfortable. And but you can keep telling me you're boycotting blank. You've run out of spaces. This is multi-sport, multi-race, multicultural. You've run out of spaces to hide. Because hockey, golf, tennis, baseball, football, NBA. The smart people get it. This is the right side of things. Joy with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, speaking of that, seven Major League Baseball games were postponed yesterday in response to the Jacob Blake shooting. One of those matchups was between the Mets and the Marlins. After the teams announced they wouldn't play, they still decided to take the field. They stood for a 42-second moment of silence before walking off, and all that was left on the field was a Black Lives Matter shirt at home plate. Baseball actually, I think, is a very significant contributor to this.
I totally agree.
Because obviously the NFL, you know, this new wave of civil rights discussion obviously started with Kaepernick, which was in the NFL, and the NBA has been, you know, in the front of these types of protests. I mean, dating back to Trayvon Martin with the Miami Heat with
the
hoodies.
Right.
But baseball has played such a significant role. I mean, it's not insignificant that they stood out there for 42 seconds, obviously, for Jackie Robinson. They've played such a significant role in race relations in this country that, you know, now obviously it's not as diverse as it used to be. And for baseball to embrace this and
day
to
one
games is really significant.
Mookie Betts of the Dodgers says, yep, I'm out. Clayton Kershaw's like, you're out, we're out. Like, it's a real thing. Baseball has a... it's got an older fan base, which tends to be more conservative.
Yep.
So there's real risk here. The NBA has always been kind of like coastal, which tends to be more democratic.
Right.
Baseball's got an older, more conservative fan base. So for them to embrace this...
And also the NBA is very international, extremely international.
Yeah.
More so... Well, obviously baseball is too, but... Not to the scale of the NBA. And to your point... It's older demographic that's watching for the most part. They're the loyal fan base. And they're not as diverse as the NBA and the NFL. So I thought this was very significant that all the leagues are getting involved, as you mentioned, tennis and MLS. Like,
right.
Everyone's on board. So you know what? We're in a space where people are very polarized. All I ask at this point, because it's very difficult to get through to anyone, is to just listen. Nobody's really having conversations. If you're only looking for affirmation, then you're not really listening.
Right. Well, that goes for what we've become as a country.
Right.
Affirmation over information.
Absolutely. And that's on every side. Like, I think that goes to every extreme. Like, you have to listen to everyone. It doesn't mean you have to agree. But if you can't even listen, then you're a problem.
The other thing to think about here, and I don't want to get preachy, but players are not asking for more money. Like,
right.
I always understand when fans get upset when a player's got 3 years left in a contract and goes, I want to renegotiate. It's like, dude, contracts have to matter. Like, the players are not asking, baseball players, hockey players, basketball players, they're not asking for more money because I don't like when players hold out. We sign contracts in life. The NFL owners, NBA owners, if you're a dog, if you underachieved, they don't get their money back.
Right.
They're not fighting for that here. They're fighting, actually, they're hurting their bottom lines by boycotting. They get less money. So, to me, they're fighting for the right stuff. When players become too much about money and hold out over money, I'm very critical of them because I've outperformed some things in my life. I don't get more money. You have.
Right.
And owners just,
that's not how contracts work.
Owners don't get a discount when a player, a guy you draft him and he's a bust, and there's a lot more of those than stars.
Well, also, I think to your point about you're running out of places to hide, I think it's very significant to remember that sports has always, organized sports in this country have always played a role in social issues.
Yes, always.
Whether it's age, gender, race.
Wars. Domestic issues.
Religion. Yeah. Domestic issues. Women, gender issues. Like, it's Title IX, Billie Jean King. Like, there's, it's not all limited to just race. And the reason that there's always a tie to social issues in sports is because sports are played by human beings who have social issues,
right.
Who have families and friends who have social issues.
People
who
forget
grew
this.
Up dealing with these issues.
I'm hearing a lot of this from people. Athletes didn't used to get into. No. Are you kidding me? Muhammad Ali in the 70s took on our government.
No, that's
it's
just,
nonsense.
That's nonsense.
Billie
it's not
Jean
true.
King.
It's not true.
This has been going on. Kurt Flood with free agency went right after the owners.
There was a time where there were segregated baseball leagues. There was a time when black men were not allowed to play football. There was a time when basketball players had to sit out.
Couldn't go to the same hotel.
The same hotel. Like,
this has been going on.
The only reason those things changed, it wasn't because they very kindly asked for it to be changed.
They forced change.
That's the only way it happened.
This idea, this narrative that, there's too much politics in sports. Now, 2020 has, the pandemic has just elevated a lot of, things. But this has been going on forever. Muhammad Ali was the most known, popular, controversial athlete of my childhood.
And he wasn't loved during the time he was doing that.
No.
All the things that you're saying about the athletes now is what they were saying about Muhammad Ali then. The only difference is we evolved, and now he's a hero because he stood up for what he believed in.
Yeah.
But just like that's
this
just
is
be
not,
careful how history is going to look back on this particular situation.
Yeah. And it's not new. This has been happening forever. Everybody wants to. And I think a lot of I do think the pandemic, it's forced us to make big changes in our life. Kids can't go to school.
It's a lot for people.
It's a lot for everybody. That's where I have great compassion for people who don't have some certain means in life and their kids are still home. They can't go to school. There's a lot of stress going on in America right now.
Sure.
A lot of stress.
For everyone.
But this stuff happening in sports has been happening. Olympic movements. We had Olympics canceled. Our government canceled an Olympics.
If you
that
think
was
it's
political.
New, you're just not a sports fan, or you're just
like
you're just making stuff up.
If
it's just not true.
If this is one of these, I'm out on sports. Then did you quit after the government turned off the Olympics? I mean, this has been going on forever. It's just now we have Instagram and Twitter, and you see it more if you're on your phone. It's in your face more.
Absolutely. So Damian Lillard left the bubble yesterday to return to Portland for further examination on his sprained right knee, which means he was able to reunite with his family for the first time in weeks.
I saw that.
And he posted a picture with Damian Jr. writing, dislocated finger, lateral knee sprain, but this is good for the soul. Miss my baby boy. He is so cute. I really just wanted to do this story so we could show a picture of him.
I wonder now, Damian's not playing tonight. I heard somebody this morning say, they should just mail this in if you're Portland. But if you're Terry Stott, you have to support your players. You're going to play hard. But
No, I mean, it feels this way for everyone. And, I mean, there's just certain games that you go into that it's going to take an unbelievable effort, basically miracle.
Portland came into the bubble different than almost every other team.
Right.
They had to win every game virtually.
Yeah, they've been playing the playoffs since they got into the bubble.
I mean, the Lakers played hard against the Clippers, then mailed in 3 weeks.
Yes.
And it's like, so, I mean, I think to them, I think Portland and Dame, I think they just ran out of gas. I think they were exhausted.
They have nothing to be ashamed of. They had an incredible season.
And they were
fun. Unbelievable job in the bubble. And Damian Jr. is the cutest. So the Packers moved up in the draft to get Jordan Love with the 26th pick, but he isn't performing at the level that a first-round pick is expected to. The latest report from camp, according to The Athletic, he hasn't fallen down the quarterback depth chart. He was already at the bottom of it. But Love has yet to provide even a glimpse at why the Packers traded up to draft him in the first round. Nobody expected him to take the world by storm in his first 9 practices, but every throw he makes seems like a touch pass, and he's had some accuracy issues early on.
Oh, boy. So Green Bay drafted him to humble Aaron. It's the opposite effect. Aaron's looking at him going, "You want? I told you people, like, this is what we traded two picks for?
This was what I was afraid of.
Now Aaron's got more power.
We had a lot of questions about Jordan Love. Kind of felt like, you know, people were putting him in that Mahomes category way too soon.
He's a project.
And then for them to trade up to get him. Because the idea, that's why I didn't like the Brett Favre Aaron Rodgers comparison, because it wasn't the same.
Yeah.
They were 13-3 and in the NFC Championship game last year. When they drafted Aaron Rodgers, they lost in the wild card game.
Yeah.
That's the year that
and
they took it.
Also, they took a first and a fourth to move up to get Jordan Love. So they're telling you, this organization's telling you, we're going to give up picks.
Right.
Even though we have holes in the roster, we got blown out twice with the Niners, we're going to give up picks to get him.
So the only way that this would really work for them is if he was, I mean, you have to be, like I said, you didn't have to tear the world apart in the first nine practices. But you can't be bad.
Tell me somebody in the NFL, a quarterback who looked awful early and was a star. Russell Wilson was amazing. 10 days into camp, they knew he was the starter over Matt Flynn, who they just paid. Mahomes was amazing. Like, all these guys, Andrew Luck, they were literally saying 3 days in he'd memorized the playbook. Like, guys that are great are generally, in the last 5-10 years, they look really good early.
Unless you're coming in with, like, a severe injury.
That's different.
Yeah, this is this may backfire on the Packers quickly.
All right. Oh, God. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Live.
I can't
news.
Love that Packers story more. It's got so much drama potentially in it. Brought to you by Mercedes, the best or nothing. Sham Sharanya, Inside the Bubble, joining us now live. Broke the story on the Lakers and Clippers voting to boycott the season. You know, Shams, it was really interesting. I've said this before. I like people who are willing to change their mind. It tells me they're curious and they listen. Two things in short supply in America. LeBron appeared to change his mind two or three different times in like 16 hours. And I like that quality. I like he wanted to hear. He wanted to learn. Do you believe, Shams, we really were very close to not having a season? We do not have audio. I'll let you people in the back figure that out. That's like wires and stuff and levers and stuff, and I don't have...
We have levers.
If I can't hear my guest, I'll let somebody else figure that out.
Yeah.
I will say this. The stories about this bubble were really... You should go read the Chris Haynes story. They're really interesting. Baseball had the advantage of time. When they were arguing with each other, they had months and months. NBA players had about a day to get this crap figured out. Like, it was intense. Like, these guys, I mean, listen, man, I've been in negotiations my whole life with agents and stuff. Stuff takes forever. Basketball guys had a day to figure this out. Like, it was intense, and Shams is now joining us again. Shams, do you believe how close were we to not continuing the season?
Sorry for the technical difficulties. Yeah. There's no question, the league, the players, they were close, and when you have the two powerhouse teams in the NBA, the Lakers and the Clippers, vote to boycott the remainder of the season, those players went into that meeting believing everyone would be on the same page, everyone would be unified. But word started to get around in that meeting that the Bucks intended to play. Their plan was to continue playing. The Bucks really blindsided a lot of players, a lot of teams across the league when they made that decision. They went rogue, essentially, and made that decision to boycott the game, and a lot of the players followed suit. They also wanted to unify and sit out. But once it was clear that the consensus and the majority of players wanted to continue playing, the Lakers and Clippers went back that evening, had their meetings, with each other, with other rival players across the league, and 4 or 5 in the morning into Thursday, the consensus was pretty clear among the players, owners, teams across the league, that the games would go on.
Besides LeBron and players, was there a coach, perhaps, Shams, that had power in these meetings, that was being listened to, that had a plea on either side?
Yeah, I mean, you have the signature players, Chris Paul, Andre Iguodala, who are NBPA leadership. But two people that were very vocal, I'm told, in that meeting were Doc Rivers, the head coach of the Clippers, and John Luke is the assistant coach in Houston. Doc Rivers' message to the players was, you guys need to look in the mirror to create real change. You guys are making the stand, but only 20% of you guys are registered voters. That needs to be 80-85%, I'm told Rivers told the players. And that was a direct message that you guys have to get your own house in order before you can, you know, allow and create change. And John Lucas's message was similar in that you need to use your financial resources and empower people and put people in positions that can make these changes. And just trying to explain to the players how fortunate they are to have the platform, a platform he didn't have as a player decades ago. And so those are the two figures from a coaching perspective that did have a loud voice in the meeting. But other than that, that meeting was tense. It was all over the place. It was scattered. It had a lot of opinions. Obviously, two major teams, you know, were planning not to play even, you know, late into Wednesday night. But as the hours went on, it became clearer and clearer. And Udonis Haslem asked LeBron James, asked the remaining players in that room, was, if you two aren't going to play, what does that leave for the rest of us? Because everyone understands if LeBron James and those two teams are not playing, there wouldn't be games.
You know, it's I think I've said this about the NBA. We're very fortunate in my lifetime. Most of the greatest NBA players have also been great leaders and good guys. They don't get into trouble like Magic and Bird. And I mean, you can just go through them and Shaq and Duncan and LeBron. They're listeners. They're vocal. They're good guys. I'd want face of my league. It's interesting with LeBron because he's really embraced power, Shams. Michael Jordan was rich and talented and popular, but a lot of times didn't want to deal with certain conflicts with GMs and owners. LeBron's put his arms around all this stuff. And I wonder sometimes, do you think Doc got through to LeBron? Does LeBron have certain people that he listens to, Shams, around the NBA? Because LeBron's obviously capable of listening to stuff and changing his mind. Who does LeBron lean on, I guess?
I think LeBron was talking to a lot of people late into Wednesday night, into Thursday. You know, you have your teammates, people in his inner circle, and just trying to get, you know, LeBron James, I'm sure, has connections to whether, you know, it's business figures, politicians that he really trusts, everyone in the industry, I'm sure he can rely on. And so, you know, from my understanding is he, you know, underwent a lot of conversations Wednesday night, Thursday morning, as did a lot of other players, just soul searching, trying to figure out what the best decision for the collective was. And when he and the Lakers arrived to the meeting, you know, 45 minutes late, I'm told, on Thursday, the decision was pretty much made. The Lakers were on board, and LeBron James understood the majority of players wanted to continue playing. And at the end of the day, LeBron James has always been an advocate for playing as long as the environments were safe. And, you know, if everyone wanted to sit, I think LeBron James would have backed that as well. So it was about the majority of players. And, you know, LeBron James has a responsibility he's put on himself in terms of taking stands and really being a vocal presence in social, you know, culture.
Yeah. All right, good stuff, Shams. Good update. That Doc Rivers is fascinating. So Doc Rivers came out and basically said, hey, 20% of you guys are registered to vote. It's got to be 80%. And by the way, that's not an easy message because the players had the momentum and the leverage here. And for Doc to stand up to him, I mean, that's notable, right? Like that's a big moment. That would be hard for me as a player to not consume and go, yeah, I'm a little responsible too. Like that's a real message, right?
Yeah, there's no question. Doc Rivers, his big message to those players was you guys need to get the house in order first. And just the platform that these players are afforded. I think what him and John Lucas wanted to get across was how important it is to really use the platform. And, you know, another thing John Lucas told the players was, you know, where is this type of energy when there isn't, you know, shooting of Jacob Blake? Why isn't this more consistent? And, you know, these players gathered and met this week. But, you know, I spoke to one player and he said, why weren't we doing this the first week we got to Orlando? Why wasn't this being held initially as we rebooted the season? And so there are a lot of questions. Again, Colin, this is a complex situation. There's no right. There's no wrong answer. Just a lot of people trying to make the right decision.
Good stuff. Always love your work, Shams. Thanks so much for joining us in the bubble, bud.
Thanks, Colin.
Wouldn't that would have been strange a year ago if I had a guest and said, thanks for joining us in the bubble? I mean,
it's a different world.
And there's cardboard cutouts in baseball stadiums.
Yep.
Coming up next, the news continues to be nothing but positive by Cam Newton, for Cam Newton, from Belichick. The latest next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Lowe's do-it-yourself projects. I relax and enjoy my home bar now that I made. Go to Lowe's.com. Show us your transformations. Hashtag Lowe's goals. So Cam Newton's still wearing the hats and everything, but Cam Newton is a new Cam Newton. Belichick yesterday said it's incredible. He's a personality. He's fun. It's just kumbaya. It's nothing but love. And Cam now is humble Cam. The Patriot way is, you know, he still likes his hats. Some guys like hats. What can we say? Some peeps like hats. I like my new shoes from Switzerland. Whatevs. Cam talked yesterday at a press conference. He is sounding very New England Patriot.
You feel as though the starting quarterback job is yours right now?
Absolutely not. Every day is a work day for me, and that label is not important to me right now because I know I have so much that I need to get better at, so much that I need to learn, so much that I need to be comfortable with. And throughout this process, that's the last thing that I'm pretty much worried about.
I'm liking it. And Belichick's effusive in his praise. Here's the thing. We got to be fair now. And I'm a critic of Cam. We got to be fair. He's going to find out. You people all said Cam didn't have any support in Carolina. New England doesn't have anything like Christian McCaffrey. Nothing close to Greg Olsen at tight end. And I think DJ Moore is better than any Patriot receiver. New England's offensive personnel is possession receivers, B-minus running back talent, and no functional tight end. And I think what's going to happen here, and Cam's going to take the brunt of the hits because Belichick's got all the trophies. It's really important for Cam to be coachable and humble because he's not going to have big numbers here. And they're not going to be a great football team. But if that's the Cam I get in 1 year, he's going to have a market. New England drafts, I've been told this by two people formerly in New England. They do the draft differently, and this never gets reported. That Belichick, sometime in January or February, nobody else does it this way. Belichick says to his scouts and his personnel people, thanks, I've got it from here. I don't think it works. I think they draft offensive people as poorly as anybody. But again, when you've got Brady running the show and you're winning trophies, and I do think Belichick's the smartest guy, he works the cap, special teams, defense, O-line's very good. But if you go, I'll give you an example. I don't think they do a very good job. They have no playmakers. They have no speed. They have no functional tight end. 2019, go to their draft. They drafted five offensive players. Jarrett Stidham, backup, poor camp, doesn't appear to be a starter. N'Keal Harry played in just seven games. That's on a team that had limited wide receivers, not in a loaded wide receiver group. Running back Damian Harris barely played. An offensive tackle in round three, a guard in round four. Neither played a snap in a game. There's no playmakers here. There's no speed here. There's no functional tight end here. There's no game breakers here. There's nobody you have to double. So Tom Brady, who's the best quarterback I've ever seen, he's better than Cam. His efficiency, he doesn't throw the long ball much. He's not a guy. Tom's very efficient. So he took these limited parts, and his efficiency made it work. But even Tom last year, and we caught him on tape twice, barking at receivers, get open, separate from people. So I'm a Cam critic, and all this stuff is awesome. I really do think it's important for Cam to be coachable, Cam to be humble, and then I think there's going to be a market for him because the numbers are going to be fairly anemic. The biggest playmaker they have is Cam Newton. That's it. That is it. Cam can make you miss. Cam can run past you. Cam can run over you. But we got to be fair on this. He is not putting up big numbers. They got no deep threat. He's not putting up big numbers. He's not. There's nothing here, man. The division's better. There's nothing here. And I do think every great coach has a hole. Remember Andy Reid? It was always not very good with the clock late in games. Belichick's hole, offensive skill people. Last Pro Bowler he drafted, Gronk. Hour two next.